Hi, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad that you are with us tonight. We are live if you're watching us live. This is also recorded on Facebook as well as our podcast that comes out every Sunday. But if you are part of our live conversation, we would like you to know that you can share this with other people. Tonight, our topic is kicking off this month. We're going to be talking about IEPs, individual education plans, as they're called in the public school realm. A lot of homeschoolers like to call them SEPs. We can kind of stick with the IEP theme because now with a lot of people COVID homeschooling, that's what we know. A lot of people that homeschool kids with specialized educational needs come out of the public school with this IEP understanding. So it's just a word and a terminology that we at Sped Homeschool like to use just because it is a universal understood what that document is. But so this whole month we're going to focus on that topic. And tonight we're going to kick off that conversation talking about enlisting homeschool IEP helpers. And two very special guests tonight who have, as we were discussing even before this conversation began, that they have been working together on this process of helping Dawn's daughter with her goals for a long, long time. And I'll have them explain that all to you. It's just a beautiful story. And I want this story that they share and all the information they have to give you hope that there are people out there that want to help with your homeschooling that are there. And maybe you've never even thought of this. I want you to think outside the box on what homeschooling is like and how to do therapy and all of that. And I also want to do a shout out to our sponsor, Deer Hill Expeditions. If you want to find out more about them, I'm going to give them a spot in the middle, halfway between, and we'll hear a little bit about what they offer and why they're one of the Sped Homeschool sponsors. But they're sponsoring this episode, and we are a nonprofit, so we appreciate that because we're completely, all of our work is done through donations and sponsorships. So anyways, we're going to kick off this conversation. Don Spence and Irene Cobb. Okay, you may have to correct me a few more times on that. I'm just going to have you two talk, just give a quick introduction. You can figure out who wants to go first, but tell us just a little bit about yourselves and how long you have been working together.
Dawn, you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because if it weren't for me, I couldn't have you, right? Oh, I don't know. I'm just kidding. My name is Irene Cobb, and I'm an occupational therapist, and I've been an OT for about 20 years. And about 11 years ago, maybe a little more, I met Dawn, and I became her daughter's, occupational therapist. And so that's how we met, all those years ago, and we've continued that relationship since then. So
that's awesome. So what about you, Dawn?
Well, I am I'm a mom, homeschool mom of 8 years, and I have a daughter with special needs who has some involved medical plus some learning issues. And so we knew from a very young age she needed some help, both OT, speech, and occupational therapy. And we have gone through a lot of therapists. But I am glad to say that, and some were just because they moved on, but OT, Irene has been Becca's one and only OT, and so it has been awesome for her she's there to remind me, and I'm there to remind her how far, you know, my daughter has come, because sometimes we forget all those things, and we'll sit and we'll go, like just the other day she was doing her eval on her, she's like, do you remember when she couldn't, you know, and so we get to see those things, get to see the growth, get to see those things. So that's a good part of our relationship, is that we get to remind each other like how far she's come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and easy. As an occupational therapist, there's nothing more rewarding When you stay with a patient for that long and you actually do see that progress, because many times we come in and we come out. And right. So you don't always get that opportunity, but also it takes a different personality, because not everybody can maintain a relationship that long and maintain a therapeutic relationship and a personal relationship. And so I think that's been a benefit in this engagement. Right. Because other times I've had to leave other homes because it wasn't the right fit. And so I think it's also important that when you find the right fit with a family, as a therapist, you like to stay. And so when, you know, it's very rewarding in that regard. And so I like to see that, because many times I don't get to see progress like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's a good point that, you know, it's not always a good fit. And I think maybe you can beat yourself up too, both parent and therapist, that, you know, I was trying everything I could to make this work. And maybe it just, we just need to move on.
Yeah.
And then there are some situations like the two of you have had where it's been a good fit. And it's time to keep going. So that's encouragement for parents too, that maybe have gone through some different therapy providers and going, maybe therapy is just not for us, but maybe it just wasn't the right fit yet.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. And so yeah, that's a long time to be working together. So what are some of the benefits of having someone to collaborate? Because I know, you know, Irene, you've been doing therapy, but I know Dawn has been writing homeschool IEPs for a long time, and I know she's talked about collaborating. So what does that look like? And then we'll, I guess, move on to the benefits after that, because it'd be nice to know just kind of how you coordinate that.
Well, Dawn usually, we usually follow the same kind of. So in my world, on our side, what we have to do is we evaluate every 6 months.
Okay.
And so in between that, we do plan of cares, which can also be a IEP, but our plan of cares lasts 60 days. And so typically in a school system, your IEPs last your school year.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you have your ARD meeting, which is where you come together every year. Of course, you can have a meeting anytime you want by law, but you have to have at least every year. So that's what we typically do. We talk about her IEPs yearly, and it usually falls on one of my evaluations or reevals. And we talk about, okay, we what has she done? What is she working on? Where are we going to take her? I put in my OT input because I have to meet so many things. I have to discuss so many things. Mm-hmm. I can't always have educational goals, because in a home health setting, Medicaid's not going to pay for that. So I have to incorporate also what the parent wants. And it's important, because we have to meet those goals and what a parent's expectations are for their child. And so your therapist should always be asking you, as a parent, what is it that you want to see your daughter or son do? What's important to you? You know, and you want to incorporate those goals within your IEP or plan of care, because that's important, as well as all those other delays that he or she is presenting, whether it's visual motor, visual perceptual, activities of daily living, you know, fine motor, coordination, strengthening. All those things are important, but you have to make them work with your parents, and they have to meet what you're doing. And so I say, well, she said, I want to work on this. I said, okay. And then we write our goals together. We sit down and we talk about what is reasonable within a year of what we think she should meet, because my goals aren't going to be the same as hers, because I change mine more frequently. And so it's a collaboration, and we've done that since the very beginning, since Becca started school. I remember when she said, I'm going to homeschool Becca, and I'm like, oh my, you know, what a big embarkment she took, but it was probably the best one that ever happened to Rebecca. And so I know for me, she presents it to me. We sit down together and we use that time, and I use it as education, because I am educating the parent on, you know, progressing her child, what comes next, from the OT standpoint. And then she brings in that teacher. Of course, she says, well, I want to work on reading. And I'm like, okay. And so then I make my own goals around that, around her goals, so that they mesh and that we're always doing the same things at the same time.
That's really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Don, from your side then, what are you, you know, how are you setting up, you know, when Irene asks you, you know, how do you prepare, I guess, for what you're going to set for your daughter's goals so that you can kind of collaborate on that?
Sometimes I've done like informal evaluations where I just sat down and looked at, okay, what is she doing as far as letters and numbers, and what is she doing, you know, with these certain things? And I look at, okay, where do I want her to go with from there? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just taking out work samples and seeing what she's doing with Irene and with speech, and seeing where I think that there needs to be some growth. And then we'll just, you know, I'll write them down and figure out where exactly I want her to go in a year. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's funny, like Irene said, sometimes our goals are so intertwined. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing things with her on a daily basis, it's like, you don't even know where they come together and when they go apart, because they're so intertwined with each other. And what I like about doing the IEP with Irene is that she's actually one of the implementers on some of her goals, and she takes data too. And so we know we can collaborate that way. And then she also, she signs off on the ARD. So, you know, if we ever needed to present that what we were doing with Rebecca, it's very professional, and it's very thought, you know, the process looks like just like it would anywhere else. So if I ever had to take her somewhere and then needed extra school help, or at some point when, if you know, college or whatever things that where God may lead Becca, I will have all the documentation to help her get where she needs to be.
Exactly. That's a good point.
One thing Don just mentioned, data. Data drives everything. And I don't just learn that when I worked in a school. Data is what gives you that information on where to go next. Mm-hmm. And if you don't write your goals, and if you don't write IEPs, or whatever you choose to call them in your frame of work, then you're not going to know what comes next in that progression of teaching your child, and also collaborating with your therapist. Developmentally, we can be able to say, well, he's not going to be able to do that first. You need to back up and you need to work on this first before you get to that. So it has to be age appropriate developmentally, not just grade appropriate. I think a question that I asked was, what grade do we have Becca in this year? And so that's how we know that I have her in fourth this year, because that's what developmentally was right for her as we progressed along. And we only have what comes next because of that data collection. And so making simple data sheets, Dawn writes everything down. She types it all out. And then when we proofread it and we go and we make changes, she makes a final copy that we sign and puts it in her file. And so it's very important to keep your data, not just for yourself, but for your child. Yeah. Because that's what's important, is knowing where your child needs to go from there, and remembering that your child has a disability, but it doesn't change what you do in the course of what you are going to do with your other children. And we give Rebecca the same tests that her siblings take, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just as fair, and it gives mm-hmm. you a basis of where you want to be.
Yeah, I think that baseline, that data collection, there's a reason those are all written in that IEP document. And if, as a parent, if you're wondering, how do I do this? On our website, Sped Homeschool, on the homepage, you can download a free template that will help you with that process. It'll walk you step by step through with a guide and some resources as well that you can print off. I know Don now uses that, and mm-hmm. It's the template that I guess you both work on for Don's daughter. So, but I remember when first writing that template, you know, making sure we got all those things in, because like you said, Irene, it is so important. There's a reason all of those things are in that document, and they
right.
have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to create that history, like Don was talking about, I mean, when your child gets older, the more history you have, I know a lot of people ask, why would I write this document? It seems like so much work. But when you have to advocate for services for your student after they graduate, if they have to ask for requests from colleges or mm-hmm. trade schools and those things, the more history you have recorded, the more likely your child is going to get that assistance.
Mm-hmm. We call that transition planning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to talk about that transition planning, not when they're 18.
I'm still looking for someone to interview for the last week of this month. I've got a couple leads, but hopefully the last Tuesday of this month we'll be talking about transition planning. So if you have a high schooler, definitely.
Yeah, but you don't talk about it just when you're in high school. They have to prepare before that, because, you know, so many of those lists and things that they need, it needs to be done early so that they have that time to be able to get it by the time they're 18. We've discussed that several times too. And so it's very important. And one other thing, if you're a parent sitting here watching this, and you know, your therapist has not worked in a school and doesn't understand, you know, all those terms of, you know, what's an IEP, what's an ARC. It doesn't matter, because it's the same thing as a plan of care. It's goals. Mm. And your therapist can help you with goals just the same. It's just terminology that is different. So don't get hung up on that terminology. And don't be apprehensive about asking your therapist to help you, because it's the same thing. It's just time might be different, but you're still working on the same thing.
That's a good
point. So don't confuse that with not being able to go to your therapist and seeking his or her help, because they can help you. Use those different terms and ask them for what you need. So
And in Texas, we call it an ARD. I know in other states it's a different terminology, but since we're all in Texas, we're talking ARDs. But that's the review process that's done on an IEP in the school, like you said, on a yearly basis. So that's good. And I know now that, Don, your daughter is now involved in this process as well. Can you talk a little bit about how she's gotten involved as she's gotten older? Because I think that's a really important point. And I know a lot of advocates for children with disabilities talk about this process of involving a child when they are ready.
Well, kind of talking to my daughter, seeing what she wants to learn, where she wants to go, what she wants to do next. Because in the end, I'm preparing her for that transition of what she wants to do in her life.
Yeah.
And whether it be going to, you know, they have some programs around here that at the college that she could go to and do some prep like that, or, you know, who knows where she's going to be in 8 years. I mean, she's surprised me so many ways. I mean, from not talking to now, you're like, okay, it's time to go to bed, you know? So we've come a long way. So just sitting down and she'll tell you, I want to learn about this. I want to do this. Mm-hmm. she's very emphatically about, even though this is not one of her IEP goals, but at night she wants to read biographies. Mm-hmm. We read about Tesla. We've read about Einstein. We're reading about Helen Keller right now. And Abraham Lincoln, that's her favorite. Don't get her. Abraham Lincoln's the man in her world. So, so you know, that's the greatest thing too about these kiddos is that they have a plan of what they're thinking that what they want to do. And the more you involve them, and the more you can get them to take ownership of what you're doing with them, the more that they're going to want to do it.
Well, she's the one who came to us and said she wanted to read.
Mm-hmm. Remember?
I wanted to learn to read, and then that's why we started. Okay, but then we had to backtrack many times. Wait, nope, we gotta present it this way. Nope, we gotta do this way. Yeah. And you know, we have our own ideas of what we think is going on up there. but you know, she teaches us something different, and it's like, Lee, man, Becca, why can't you just do like what I know, you know? And it just doesn't work that way. And yeah. So your kid will teach you what you want to know, whether they have a disability or not. And I think that's what's important, is many times we've stepped back and we've let Rebecca teach us, and knowing what comes next. And that's, we're like, well, you know, she doesn't follow any type of book, that's for sure. And she's definitely challenged me many ways in my career. And I'm like, wow, man, it's just so take the time. And this allows you to do that. This allows you to take the time and knowing what's important in their education, whether you're in public school or homeschool. Or whether you decide homeschool's not for you anymore, you sure know how to go to that public school and say, this is the way she learns best.
Right.
So yes. You're the best advocate, and so that's what you're learning at home.
Yeah, and that's a good point, is, you know, a lot of parents are COVID homeschooling, keeping records and all that. And next week, actually, we're going to talk with two lawyers from California on what you should be doing for record keeping if you plan on putting your child back in school, or you're even just thinking that may be a possibility, so that you can have that IEP conversation going back in with the right data and all the other things. So we're going to talk about that next week. But it is very important. But I love that, you know, she's teaching you things as well as you two. I'm working with her. But you're a team.
And, yes,
and
absolutely.
She feels safe enough to express to both of you that this is what I want to do, and that you will take that feedback and run with it. So that's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes when she doesn't want to do what Miss Rini wants her to do, and she looks at me and I'm like, I'm not getting you out of this, because I know what's better. You know, this is what you need to do. So she knows Mommy and Miss Rini are a team, and we're doing what's best for her.
That's awesome. Yeah. So we have a question, and I'm not sure this is applicable or not, because I know, Rini, you are an OT, but it talks about a speech therapist helping with the reading process. So
I think they should. And that's, there's, well, back when we started reading, we talked about how do you present it? And we talked about issues that we thought Rebecca might have. And then that's where Dawn came up with some of the programs that she wanted to start. Because there is that processing part of it that is very important. And I think I did at one point say, at the time, whoever the speech therapist was, I don't even remember who it was, ask your speech therapist, because I'm not sure. But, and so, you know, when it's not in my scope of practice, I definitely pass the buck, you know, sometimes. Because I don't know, like, I honestly don't know how those things work, or what sounds come before this or what have you. And so that's where your speech therapist does need to come in play. So going back to working as a team, your therapist just is not someone who comes and goes. It just shouldn't be, not when you're trying to get your kid the highest function as possible, and according to their disability, to their cognitive level. You know, I've seen kids learn more than I thought initially, because you give them a chance. And so your speech therapist definitely needs to be involved in the reading process, especially if they have like dyslexia or auditory processing and things like that. I think we use the little telephones. Remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We use the little telephones so that we could hear. And those are used by speech therapists. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important.
Yeah, I have consulted with my speech therapist because a lot of times, especially sounds are so related to reading. And my daughter does have some auditory processing issues. And so, you know, going to your speech therapist and you can come up with a, okay, so which of these skills should I work on first?
Yeah.
You know, rhyming is a big deal. Just working on that, getting them ready for auditory, you know, with auditory processing, getting them ready to be able to read, because you have to be able to do the rhyming, because that helps you with all the word families.
The word families. Yep.
Yeah.
And so, I say, you know, for sure, work with your therapist, because not everybody has an education degree, so you don't know, like. You know, everything is a stepping stone. So finding that first step to go to, then you build. And so if you don't know that process, then definitely I think you should work with your therapist. They should be helping you and working with you and helping you find out where your child is and what the next step is.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Melissa, for the question. And if you're watching and you have other questions for Don and Rainey, feel free to put them in the feed. We are about halfway through and we're at a breaking point in our conversation. So I'm going to give them a little time off and we're going to hear from our sponsor. And then we're going to come back. We're going to keep discussing and hopefully build in some more of your questions. So Melissa said thanks. So yeah, it was a very good answer to her question. I appreciate both of you for that. So, all right. So I'm going to give you a quick break and we're going to hear from our sponsor at Deer Hill Expeditions. And so I'm going to put up their website. It's deerhillexpeditions.com. And they are sponsoring this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. And so this is what they would like you to know about them. So Deer Hill Expeditions, located in Southwest Colorado, is offering a fun new way for your student to learn outside this school year. They have a new program named Homeschool Scholar Adventure Program, or HSAP for short. It's a two-week adventure-style program designed specifically to give homeschool and non-traditional students a unique and fun way to experience away from their normal schooling routine and into nature with their peers. The experienced leaders and a tailored curriculum will guide students the first week at base camp, engaging with interactive classroom work. Then students will head out during week two for an expedition-style adventure to cap off their experience. The first session starts April 3rd. It's just a few months away, and you can learn more at their website, deerhillexpeditions.com. So thank you so much, Deer Hill, for sponsoring this episode of Be to Partner with Sped Homeschool. We appreciate that. That sponsorship, as well as you're just supporting our efforts as we continue to help parents and homeschoolers. So I'm going to bring Don and Rainey back, and we are going to continue this conversation about enlisting homeschool IEP helpers. And you guys have provided some great feedback already and answers and even encouragement, I think, to parents as just you've kind of shared just how things work, you know, in the in and out of you guys just starting together and keeping going together. You know, over the years, How have, you know, you worked out the roles? I know you say that, you know, some of the record keeping Irini does, and then Donna, I'm assuming you do some. And then, mm-hmm. you know, even just communicating. I know that's a difficult thing when you're working in a school setting or just with multiple teachers. How has that worked best for the two of you to communicate with each other? And I know it's going to be unique for different situations, but maybe just some ideas for to share with other parents. And then just have you kept data on spreadsheets, on computers? Do you, you know, keep it in a log that's physical? Or how does that seem to work best for the situation that you guys have kind of, I guess, perfected over the years?
We mostly do it weekly, keep work samples. Like, she was working on a cutting goal, then we would put all that stuff together and I would attach it to that goal so we could see the progression of what that looks like. If I'm working on letters, then I will you know, attach data there. Like, when she's going over her letters, I'm just going to mark them as I go. So definitely do it in the moment, when that way if you're not making it harder for yourself to go back and think later, like, okay, which word did she know, which word did she not know,
right?
So that way you were you're doing it all along, and so it's an easy process to do it that way.
And of course I have to document every time I'm there. With any company, Dawn and I have always done home health with Rebecca. She's gone to the clinic for other therapies, but for us, we've always done home health. And so, and not every parent does this, but, you know, I have a box. And my box has my stuff that I work with her, and I date everything on there, and I say whether it was an OT or not. And then I'll write on there, you know, on her paper, you know, she used this many cues, she needed this much assistance. So we do know, but Dawn has also had data sheets that she's had, but I'm a data collector, but she's a data collector. And through the years, I mean, it is up here. I've had her so long. I just know what she does sometimes. But there's times where I have to go back to my note and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I have to go back to my note and see. I don't remember what I wrote. And so we do that. But your question too was, how do we communicate? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, all the time, honestly. I come twice a week, but when we started, that was three times a week. That's mm-hmm. when, you know, things are really mm-hmm. cool. And so I was there so much that you just learn how to communicate with that parent. And every parent is different, and not every parent is going to be the same. And so, you know, that as a clinician, you know what you can get from this parent and what you can't get from this parent or that parent. And so that's why it's very important. And I can't stress this enough, and I'm sure Dawn will agree with me. You have to have a positive working relationship with your parents. You do not have to be friends with them. You do not have to know their personal business. You just have to have a positive relationship and an open communication system. We text, we email, we talk on the phone. And of course, that has progressed through the years. But it's always been an open communication. And so as a clinician, too, don't be afraid to tell that parent, you know, where that child is, because it's important that they know.
Right.
Because you have to have an acceptance from your parent in order to move forward as a team.
Yeah.
And so if your parent's not on the same page as you, then you're not going to be able to work as a team very, very efficiently. And so that's also important, in my opinion. So that's how we've communicated through the years. But I do that with almost all of my parents. I have an open line of communication. I mean, they text me all hours of the night, day, and I respond because you might be their only person that they have as support, you know. They're grieving. They ask questions. Why? And you're there to provide that, those answers, and you may be the only person that can answer that for them. And so it doesn't bother me. It never has, but if I don't get to you tonight, I'll get to you tomorrow. I mean, you know, we all have lives, and I have children too. And so, you know, it's a give and take, I think. So I think that's what's important too, but I just am a different clinician all the way around. Not everybody is able to do that, and it's okay. But be open with your therapist, be available, and be honest, and they can provide you with a lot more support than you think, in many ways. And when it, and like we said earlier in the beginning, when it's not a good match, it's not a good match, and don't feel bad to be able to, I need a new therapist. We're just not getting anywhere. I mean, she's not meeting goals. And when you take data, then you know they're not meeting goals. And so you get to say that, hey, you've been working on the same thing for a year. Are we going to talk about something else? So that's important too. But I'm sure Dawn will agree with me. I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that I love about our collaboration is that being on the same page, like there's been times when we've been working on a, like science when she was younger, and Irene would just come in and she'd make that part of her goal. Yeah. Because one of the things are part of her therapy, because one of the things that a lot of our kids is, you know, we think, oh, they got to do therapy, then they need to do school. Well, school is their therapy, because if I put more on my daughter after she's worked for an hour with Irene, that's a lot of work. That's hard work. Yeah. That's not, you know, that's things where she's really having to use her mind and her muscles and her, you know, crossing the red line and endurance. Yeah. I mean, she's tired. And so a lot of times she'll look at me and Irene, she's like, okay, can I have my break now? But she knows, like, after she does with us, she usually goes and plays with Legos for a while because she just needs that downtime. Yeah. So, you know, count your therapy as your school. That's why if you incorporate it together, they're not working harder, you're working smarter, and you're not going to cause your child to have to do 10 more things, you know. So, and you know, there have been times with other therapists, I haven't really had to do this with Irene, that when the goals weren't, you know, if they developed them on their own and didn't talk with me and I didn't like them, I asked them to change them because, and you know, this is for my daughter. It's not personal, but in the long run, I am responsible for her education and for her life and where she's going to be. So don't be afraid to say, you know, these goals are not working for me. They're not working for the best of my daughter. And let's go back to the drawing board and rethink this.
Yeah, being an advocate for your child in those situations when there is a disagreement, that's a good point too. So yeah, that's awesome advice. Sarah had said, all great advice, thank you. So I just want you to know that you're encouraging many out there already. and if you're watching live, please do know you can put comments and questions in the feed as we continue on. So do you have any advice? I guess, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. This was just the next question I have. And we've discussed, you know, that it's always not a perfect fit, and that you do need to advocate and know when it's working and when it's not. But for people that are just thinking, you know, I really want to get something like this started, enlisting somebody to help me with my child's goals, I don't even know where to start. How How would a parent go about that? And I know it's probably different technically in different states, but do you have any advice for anybody who's just kind of getting started? They've been homeschooling, they know their child's struggling. What do I do? How do I take that first step?
If they're not already getting therapy, then, you know, that's probably a good place to go. And then when you call the office to talk to about sending out a therapist, ask them for someone that's open to homeschooling, because it mm-hmm. does make a difference, because some people are not open to homeschooling and they don't understand the flexibility. They don't understand, like, my daughter's not doing, I'm not going to be like going by every law of the letter as school would be. So I mm-hmm. want someone that's going to realize that I'm doing what's best for my daughter, and I have these ideas and these goals and these plans. Mm-hmm. And if they're shut off to homeschooling or shut off to certain things, that's not who you want to elicit. You want to elicit someone that's going to be open. So have that conversation before you even invite that therapist into your house. That would be my first word of advice.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Dawn, but we met before all that even happened, you know. Right. I mean, these babies were 9 yeah. months old, and, you know, she wasn't talking, she wasn't eating. So
yeah.
there were so many bridges to cross before we even came to the word school. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I remember that summer before the girls were going to turn, you know, go to school and mom decided this. I was like, all right, I mean, let's do it, you know. And and we didn't know how we were going to do it, because, you know, there was a time Rebecca worked on sensory integration. And as an SI therapist, you know, my most important goal at the time was just getting her alert and calm in order to take in new information neurologically. And so that was all I was concerned about, mm-hmm. you know, and we had behaviors a long time before this. And so we had behavior, and then we had illness, and then, you know, this after this, after this. So as you progress, things are going to be different and times are going to change. And that's how relationships evolve as well. Because, you know, she needed different things at different times. And then when feeding became the main issue, then we had to switch our goals to feeding. And then that's what we did, you know. So that's why enlist your therapist, and because your therapist is that person that knows normal growth and development. Normal growth and development, what does that mean? It means neurologically, what is your child supposed to be doing at a certain age? Not every child's going to walk at 1 year old. Okay. Yeah. That's, you know, that's just not how it is. It's not there. And so that's why you need to talk to your therapist and say, what she is, you know, this age, what do we need to be doing at this time? Or what should we be doing? Okay. Well, this is where she is. All right. So then we back up, and that's how you enlist the help of your therapist as well. And then what is your homeschool? What is your goal of homeschool? What do you want your homeschool to look like? You know, do you want group work? Do you want this? Because, you know, I'm a push-in, or I'm an observer, or what have you. And so there were many times I was part of the lesson. Still am, you know. Sometimes we sit at the kitchen table and we're not in the classroom and everybody's listening, you know. The other kids know where Becca is developmentally too, because they've heard it for so many years. Mm-hmm. So not only are me and Dawn, or Dawn and I, collaborators, the whole family is. Mm-hmm. And even her caregiver. Her caregiver is part of her plan of care too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to do the same things as what I'm doing, because that's how you promote the goals. In order to meet those goals, is having them done every day versus just when your therapist is there.
Exactly.
And so that's what's important too. is that, and it's, we have research to back that up, you know, don't just do and wait for your therapist to come and do it twice a week, one time a week or whatever.
Right.
Incorporate what she's doing. Be a part of that therapy session. Watch him or her and mimic that when she's gone or he's gone. Be the therapist when your therapist is gone. And I think that's what Dawn's done so well, is that, you know, she's learned how to be that therapist, mm-hmm. and not just a mom and not just a teacher. And I feel like that is what has made this relationship successful, is that she was open to learning and, mm-hmm. and always supportive, no matter what, in more ways than one, honestly. And so
how flexible you've been too, Irene, and you know, and that makes that work as well. And so it's been a give and take on both of you. And it seems like you have learned this dance. So not to step on each other's toes, but really to work harmoniously together, which has been, it's really neat that,
I think it's a blessing, actually. I think it's mm-hmm. a blessing that, you know, as many homeschoolers work at, God puts the right people in your life at the right time. And I think it's important to pray about what you want, and what you seek, and making those connections, right. And I think that's what's also helped this union as well, is just, we have the same beliefs too. And so mm-hmm. you can find that, you can find it. Agree?
Done. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny, it's like every Tuesday night and every
Sunday
night. Sunday night and actually Tuesday night, I'm like, okay, go get Miss Irene's bucket and put it by the bench, and it's already here, you know, and waiting for her. And you know, she's like, I need this. I'm like, all right, let me go and order it, you know. So, you know, we make sure that she has the tool that she needs. And, you know, she also, like, encourages Becca to do the other things from the other services that she needs. Like, okay, you need to work on your speech, and you need to you need to get those feet down on the floor and quit that toe walking. And so, you know, she sees her as a whole, you know, person. And that's what I know when you have a good therapist, is that they don't just see she doesn't just come in to be the OT. She comes in to see, my daughter as the whole person. And, and she does that really well. And, so I appreciate it. And like, right now we're working with her on her writing, and we're using the same paper, highlighting it the same, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't matter if Irene does it or my caregiver does it or I do it. She knows we are going to all be consistent with each other.
That's so important.
Consistency. There's that word. Yes. Mm-hmm. If the more consistent you are, the more results you're going to see. You just mm-hmm. are. It is. You are. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So I know, Dawn, you are the queen of resources. So are there any resources that your places you go for, like data collection sheets and other places that homeschool parents can go to get different resources that you used in the process of working on your daughter's IEP and those goals and other things that
I think my favorite place right now is Teachers Pay Teachers, because they have so many free things because of COVID and everything out there right now. And a lot of the forms are, you can edit them to match what you want it to say. So free and things that you can edit are always a plus in my book. So honestly, that's what I'm doing. And then I create my own, you know, Word documents. When I was a special ed teacher, sometimes the biggest thing is, don't work on every IEP goal every day. Like, Sometimes you need to work on, like, I'm going to work on math this day, I'll work on reading this day, or I'll work on writing this day, and break them down, because it becomes overwhelming if you're, because you think about it, you're creating these goals because it's something that's a challenge for your child. So do you want to challenge them like constantly all day, or do you want to give them some things in the middle? So especially with my daughter, like, her caregiver has some of the goals mixed in there, but with games as well. So she gets to do some, you know, and coloring is good for her because of fine motor. So find things that you can put in there that are still goals, but are fun at the same time, because nobody wants to be challenged all day long. I don't want to be challenged all day long. So, you know, so how can you make it fun to learn, effective to learn, but at the same time, you know, give them that, like today she was cutting and coloring and she's like, I got off easy. Mom just gave me something fun to do, but she doesn't know I'm working on OT goals the whole entire time, right. You know, and that's fine. I'm working on multi things, but she's like, I think, you know, and that's fine. I'd rather her think that, because then then it's still fun and it's still good for her, and she's not looking at something she has to do, but that she gets to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, and a note on that is sometimes, well, when it was a goal, we worked on it, we worked on it, we worked on it. She mastered that goal. But then later on, we go and ask her and we find that she's forgotten everything. And I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, so no. Never ever think, oh yeah, all the time. And never ever think that just because they master a goal that they never need to do it again. And so that's yes. And so that's why in her independent time, she has those other things that she does that she thinks are cool. But it's just for her to remember and always get that brain working. Neurologically, you need to tap into that all the time, and by making it fun. And so that's what we've realized through these years, is that when I thought she knew something somewhere, it went away, and you always got to bring, you know, reteach it later on, because we always forget, you know, sometimes that brain, it works differently, and so you always got to fill it up.
So now when she does accomplish a goal, do you do that? Do you think of ways that you can then incorporate it back in as a, like, just a test? Or
every day we look at each other and we go, what happened? What where did that go? And what? All right, well, and we got to reel her back in and start all over again. And then I tell her, Dawn, you got to make that a part of her independent work, you know, just incorporating her independent boxes. That way she's doing that throughout her schoolwork, but it's on her time when she chooses, not someone else telling her what to do. And so that's what makes your school day go to, is not all the time kids are doing what you're telling them to do at school. Exactly. They have to sit there at a desk and they have to work on their own while the teacher's working with someone else. And when you're a homeschool mom, you're one of you and, you know, multiple kids in multiple grades. So you got to be creative. And that's one thing Dawn's done, is be creative with all of the children. You know, so Rebecca's in therapy. Y'all need to go work on your independent boxes. Okay. You know, be creative is a good suggestion. Yes, absolutely.
Now, one thing I do is I take a piece of paper and I put all the things that I want her to work on in a week. And I put them all like in one line for Monday, Tuesday. But then I go back and highlight the ones that I'm going to specifically work on that day. So maybe in math, we're going to work on shapes, but then tomorrow we're going to work on numbers, and we're going to work on this, because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, we'll do all of that multiple times a day. My daughter can't handle that. Now, some kids can. If your kid can, then that's awesome, but my daughter can't. That's just too overwhelming, and I don't want her to shut down. So in a day, by doing that chart with both me and my caregiver, I touch on at least 20 different things, but they're quick, they're fast, and they're fun. Like, she's doing numbers 1 through 50 right now. Well, there's these sticker books called Paint by Number, and it has all the numbers, And so she has to go and put the stickers and number. She's counting, but she's creating a picture. She's doing art at the same time. Right. So just finding those ways that would help your child make that same goal. And I know it's hard in the beginning because you're just like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm new to homeschooling. Right.
Trying to find all those resources and
get a deck of cards. There's like 5 million things you could do with a deck of cards. And then you know, at the same time and even maybe ask your therapist,
games.
What are some fun games that are her speech therapist is bringing in, Simon Says Air right now that, and I can see where that multi-step process and where executive functioning are really being challenged.
Yes.
My daughter was younger, we would swing her. We had an indoor swing in our house, and we would swing her, and then she would come and do some work because we'd have to get her, you know.
She had our listening program for a while that we incorporated into work. I mean, we've done a lot of games with Rebecca, too, like throughout the lots of games, but she thinks it's fun because it's a game.
Right.
She has no idea. And so, but just, you know, working on visual motor skills, figure ground, you know, visual discrimination, all those things that OTs work on by the little circle cards.
Yeah.
Dawn, what's that game called? The Nemo one she has. The circle cards where you turn them over.
Spot it.
Mm-hmm. Can think of it. Spot it. Oh my goodness. One of the best OT games. And she loves it.
Awesome game.
And of course, you know, I'm going to win.
Yes.
And so then you build that autonomy, you know, and you're building all those other social skills that are so important because you're in homeschool and you may not always, if one day a week you go to co-op or whatever. You got to always build social skills and work on those things. That's a constant in those kids' lives. And so find people like Dawn and ask those questions, you know, because those are the people that are going to help you. These kind of things, like I mean, obviously, if I'm going to homeschool, I know where to go. But but this kind of thing is what I would look for when I would start researching. How do I go find, you know, how do I Google? How do, you know, things like that. And so asking questions
And Dawn has a plethora of articles on her website. You just have to look at spedhomeschool.com and search Dawn Spence. You'll find all of her articles and very hands-on practical advice. I just appreciate that, Dawn. So Dawn is our teaching manager here at Sped Homeschool and helps us to set our content every month. So we're wrapping up. Is there anything last comments you have to say? I know Melissa said, this is amazing. We have never merged therapy with homeschool goals. So hopefully we've taken some of you out of your box on this.
Yeah.
Because it, as like Dawn and Irene have been talking about, this can be so more impactful if you do the merging of your child's goals with what you're doing in your homeschooling. Just like Irene, you were talking about, you know, just the consistency. And, you know, Don, you were talking about how, you know, everybody does everything the same, whether, you know, it's one person working with her or another. It's that communication. But it's just helping her go that much faster because it's less confusing and you're all headed in the same direction with her.
Exactly. And if you have a awesome therapist like I have, because we love Miss Irene, I mean, my daughter.
Don't be putting me out here now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because you can't have her. She's you know, and my daughter hugs her and loves her, and because she sees that love that Irene has for her. It makes her have a safe place to learn and to try and to fail, and it's okay.
Yeah.
So if you have a good therapist, do not lose them. They're a gem, and Irene is a gem.
Well, if you'll, the whole family is on my refrigerator behind me. So, and my picture of my drawing of myself from Becca, so, you know.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you ladies for your time. This has been an incredible discussion. I just appreciate both of you and just the advice, the wisdom, and just being real with us tonight. Just how this has worked out for you, and I hope it's an encouragement for many in the years to come. And I just want to thank all of you for joining us live. We've had quite a few viewers, and so we do this every week. We are continuing our discussion on IEPs throughout this month, and like I said, next week we're going to talk about COVID, homeschooling, and IEP record keeping. So if you know of anybody who may be considering going back to a school situation, whether it's a traditional public school or maybe a charter school or some other kind of school, and you want to have enough documentation of what you're doing while you're homeschooling your student, that's what we're going to talk about next week. And you never know, you just may enjoy it a lot. Hopefully we can convince you of that, and you won't go back. but I know there's a lot of different situations that have people changing that situation. So we want to be able to encourage you in all the ways that we can. So thank you again, ladies. Thank you all for joining us. Next week's episode will be a half an hour earlier, just because of our guests need to be on at that time. So we'll be on at 7:30 to 8:30. But otherwise, same time or same day of the week, so Tuesday night, and we'll all see you then. So have a good night, everybody. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.